And all morning. Brother Clark told us there a while ago, if you missed Sunday school, you just missed out. That's all we can say. Had a great Sunday school hour and great singing in the first service, if you can call it that. I don't call it separate services. We just unhitch for a minute and then have the preaching service. But it was good this morning, and it's good now. Appreciate the singing this morning. Good song, good singing. Turn to Revelation chapter 22. The Revelation chapter 22. We'll look at just something very simple this morning. I don't know what all the needs are today. I do know this. There's a common denominator that we all need. And we need Jesus. That's for sure. We need Jesus. Not just every now and again. If there's one thing that I could get everyone to understand, you that are believers anyway, you that are Christian, I don't expect someone unsaved to even grasp it, but if I can get you church people who say that you're saved to understand that if you're truly saved, that Christ is to be your life, normal Christianity, normal, not super Christianity, not super spiritual, but normal Christianity, if you're saved, then Christ is supposed to be your life. He's supposed to be your life. If he's not your life, then you're out of his will and you got sin in your life and you're not walking with the Lord. That, everybody understand that? Can I say it any plainer than that? If you have two different lives, then you're a hypocrite. Is that plain enough? If you have two different lives, you're a hypocrite. If you're saved. I'm going to say that again because everybody, all the believers ain't getting that. Now, if you're not a believer, I don't expect you to get it. But if you're a believer this morning, if you have two different lives, if you have a secular life and a spiritual life, or what you call a spiritual life, then you're a hypocrite. There is no middle ground. Neutral, you cannot be. You're either saved or you ain't. And if you're saved, then he is your life. Now, he may not be your life on the same scale as others because you're going to have to learn some things. But as far as the truth in your heart and him living inside of you, he's your life. That's what the Bible says. All right? And I believe if I could get anybody, any believer to see anything, that would be the greatest thing you could ever see and know. All right? See, what I'm afraid of is you've got religion, and you don't have Christ. So that's what concerns me about people who come to church, is the majority have religion, and they don't know Christ. Think about that. See, I can't say what you know and what you don't know. I can't say whether you know Christ or not. I can't say that for sure. But I can watch you and have a pretty good idea. I can listen to you and have a pretty good idea. But I can't know for sure. Because I've been sideways with the Lord myself. Anybody here been sideways with the Lord? Now, all the rest of you didn't raise your hand. You need to repent because you lie. Because we all get sideways with the Lord somewhere or another. We've all went down the wrong exit. Every time I think about going down the wrong exit, Cheryl, I think it's Cheryl. Cheryl hates to ride with me. But I tell you how you fix it. It's a good example. We was going somewhere, I forget where we was going, it was over to O'Keele. I was going to a dentist appointment maybe years ago. And I took the wrong exit there in O'Keele. And I took where we was going, I went the wrong exit. I think we weren't going to this. We were supposed to take Oler Avenue and I went out Summerlee. Or vice versa, regardless. So I went up the exit. I looked at my watch and I was running out of time, and I said, well, I'll go down here and turn around. And I started down the other, I just went across, and I said, I ain't doing all that. So I just backed up all that up to all that. I backed up the off ramp and then turned around and went the way I needed to go. Now, you say, well, that was against the law. I know, I understand that. And then, but I was wrong and I needed to get right very quickly. And sometimes we ought to just go ahead and back up the exit we took and get off there just as quick as we can. And don't worry about going down the road and trying to find a place to turn around. Because we've been spending too much time going down the road looking for a place when we should have had it. We already should have done turn around. We okay with that? I'm just trying to give you something simple. All right, I'll probably preach to you this morning simpler than you've ever heard. All right, it ain't going to be no simpler than what this morning's message will be. It won't be no simpler. All right? And so let's pray together. Everybody okay? Yeah. I'm enjoying the Lord. I've had a good time. I preached Monday night at a prayer retreat. And some of you here Wednesday, I told you, they called me. They didn't call me till Monday. To see if I could fill in for a preacher who got sick. And so I went and preached Monday night. And it was a joy to find 30 or so men who wanted to spend a week hearing preaching and praying all night and all day. That's all they was going to do. They wasn't going to fish. They wasn't going to pitch horseshoes. They wasn't going to hunt or nothing. All they was going to do was just hear preaching And they wasn't no big meals. They was eating lunch meat sandwiches. That's what they had. They eat lunch meat sandwiches, and they was going to pray and hear preaching and pray. That's what they was going to do. Well, I thought they was going to have a good time Monday night, and Tuesday evening they called again and said, the preacher's still sick. Can you come back again? I like all that notice they give you. That's why I do what I do. I give people the same notice. But anyway, it's been a great week. Then we had church outside in church Sunday, homecoming, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. All right, we got Bible class on Thursday. And then church today. This has been a good week. Good week. Had grandkids here and I was able to hunt a little bit with Marcus there Friday. So it's been a great week, and then get to see you. Whether you know it or not, it's just as important to be at church as it is to read your Bible. See, when you come to church, whether you believe it or not, when you truly come to church for the right reason, you're showing your love for Jesus when you come to His house. And when you come to church because you love Jesus, then you're showing it even more because you're showing that you love His bride, His family. When you come to church, you're showing you love one another. And when you don't go to church, you vote for the church to close. We still simple? They're trying to be simple today. Just trying to be simple today. Everybody okay? I don't like to be misunderstood. Okay? All right? Everybody okay? All right, well, let's pray together. Father, we come. Lord, there's nobody like you. They sung about you. They sung about you in Sunday school hour. Cheryl Ann sung about you. Boy, I'm glad for Amazing Grace. I know what I was. I know what I am now. I am what I am by the grace of God. Then they sung about you and being the Lamb and going up Calvary. Then they stood and sung about you just now. Even Ray Ray stood there and sung just as big as could be, just to praise your name. You're wonderful to us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now, Lord, there's not a time I don't reckon that there's been any more needful than what we need you right now. Lord, we need you today. Lord, everyone in this church house, those listening on live stream, those that will listen later on the website, Lord, I pray that you may speak to every heart, every mind that will listen. Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, as Brother Doug has even told us, not only may I preach in the power of the Holy Spirit, but may we listen in the power of the Holy Spirit. May we react in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray. May you get glory out of our lives. May you help me this morning. Cleanse me that I might be what you want me to be. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Look at Revelation chapter 22. And we'll just start at verse 8, okay? Start at verse 8. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. Now this is the angel talking. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So you don't worship angels. He said here, worship God. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now we read all of that so we could stay in the context of who was speaking and who was being spoken about. And we're talking about Jesus this morning is who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God's Son. And it says here, and we want to concentrate here, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. He wanted to make sure they understood who he was. And Rick, I thought, Rick, you told us that this morning, and they got up and sung, I'm glad I know who Jesus is, and I just smiled, because I'm glad for one Holy Spirit that speaks to our heart. It's just great. But verse 17 is what I want to preach to you about this morning. See, Jesus done something here, and he said something here. He said, I have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. First off, is who he is. He's wanting you to understand that Jesus is the one they look for in the Old Testament. Yes. And he is the one that made himself known in the New Testament. Yes. And he is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior. He is everything that everybody needs. He is. And then verse 17 is what we want to concentrate on. It says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Ain't that wonderful? A great invitation here. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Again, I told you it's going to preach simple. Message today is going to be so simple. It's going to be so simple that many of you are not going to accept it. Because you're going to want more. You're going to expect more. You're going to expect there's more to it than what I'm going to preach to you this morning. But it's simple. See, the truth of the matter is this morning, the truth is that all you need is Jesus. That's truly all you need. You don't need nothing else. You need Jesus. Now, you don't need reform because it won't last. You may have a desire to reform. You may want to do better, but you're only going to do better a little bit. And it won't last long. It won't last long. Because you don't need reform. You need reborn. Not reformed. You need Jesus. Does everybody understand that? You need Jesus. You don't need more preaching. We've had more preaching the past 100 years than we've ever had. More availability to preaching, radio, TV, podcast, revivals, week's revivals, conferences. We send our kids to Bible college. We send them to Christian schools. They have chapel. We have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, downstairs teaching. We have junior church, children's church, nursery church. We have every kind of preaching that you can have. And then when our kids go bad, we got jail ministries to preach to them. I mean, there's preaching available. I want you to know we make the preaching available, and it ain't changing nobody. You don't need preaching, you need Jesus. We got more Bibles printed than ever been printed. Everybody's got more than one Bible in their house. You might have more than one on your lap. All right, and it's great. The Bible talks about studying to show thyself approved. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. We know we ought to study, but that ain't what you need. You need Jesus. Read all you want to read, but if you read and don't find Jesus, you don't have nothing. What you need is Jesus Christ this morning. He is not religion. I'm concerned that there's so many this morning that think he is religion. He's not religion. You don't come to the church house to find Jesus in a program or a bulletin or a play or a prayer or a plan. But you know Jesus, the real Jesus, the man called Jesus. He's a person. He's God in the flesh. And you need to know him. But I'm afraid you have religion instead of relationship. I'm afraid that there's more that has religion than a relationship. What is your relationship? Do you talk to him? Now, honestly, don't answer out loud but or uplifted hand, but do you honestly talk to him every day? Do you honestly, when you wake up, speak to him of a morning? I love most of the time when Steve Fairchild prays, he'll of a morning or good evening, Father, good evening, well, good morning. I notice that. Yeah. All right? I notice that. You know what? That's who you're talking to, ain't it? Yeah. That's who you're talking to. Do you do that? See, most don't pray anyway. The majority of the people listening to me today don't pray anyhow. But when you do, is it out of necessity or is it out of relationship? Yeah. Me and Miss Cheryl, we've been married 44 years. Well, when she comes to the house of a morning, normally I beat her up every day. That's why she's in line. I beat her up every day. She comes through the house, and I say, "Morning." Now, the other day, this just happened the other day. I don't even know if you'll remember it. The other day, I said it, and about the time I said it, that crazy dog started, and she come on through. Well, I done turned my back, and she said, "Not speaking this morning." And I said, "I did. I'm sorry." I said, "Good morning, dear." And she said, "Good morning, honey." And we had the moon conversation off Andy Griffith, you know. All right. But the reason that we speak every morning is because we have a marriage relationship. Well, the Bible teaches if I'm saved, I'm a spouse to one husband. But the Bible, and I got a relationship. But I'm afraid that too many have a religion instead of a relationship. See, I don't always ask Cheryl, will you do this, will you do that? Sometimes we just talk. I don't always say, will you get me this? Will you get me that? Will you go there? Will you go this? I don't always do that. Sometimes I ask her how she is. Sometimes I'm concerned about her needs, not mine. Let me say that again. Sometimes I'm concerned about her needs, not mine. Amen. Have you ever been concerned about what the Lord needs? No, He don't need nothing. He may need something from you. Right. He may need you to go somewhere. He may need you to do something. Huh? In fact, my relationship with Cheryl Ann been all this years. Right, I've been a Christian longer than I've been married. Okay, but can I tell you every now and then she'll come, can you get me this? Can you do this for me? I'm not sure. I don't know that I've ever said, I ain't doing it. Are we still okay? I'm trying to be real simple this morning. I'm talking about relationship. Alright? When it comes to the Lord, how would you know if He wants you to do something if you don't talk to Him? Right. See, you come to church to try to fill in the blanks and to try to fill in because you're religious. You don't know the Lord. That's why you go in the world and do what you want to do. That's why you live the way you want to live. That's why you talk the way you want to talk and you go and you do the things you want to do because it's religion to you. It's not Jesus. It's not a person to you. And you say, well, you're judging me. Yeah, I am. Sure I am. Let it right down. That's the way it is. You pick and choose. You fit in or you don't. We okay? I want to make sure nobody misunderstands. Huh? Hey, neutral you cannot be. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need the Jesus life. You need, I'm glad, who said yes over here? I'm glad, Krista, you're, of all these people, you're the only one who's agreed. Well, you say, well, I don't shouldn't have to say agree all the time. Why not? Anybody watch ball games yesterday? Anybody here watch a ball game yesterday? I'm asking you a question. Anybody here watch a ball game yesterday? Did you get excited about it? Did you say anything at all about the game? Huh? Then you ought to say something in the church house. Amen. You ought to.
Amen, preacher.
But maybe you don't know it. Maybe it is a religious thing. Maybe we do need to put on the screen, hurrah. Every so often we throw it up there and hurrah. And we know that's when we... Maybe we should do the cue card. Amen.
Amen.
Now that wasn't planned. We okay? See, the reason I'm telling you this is the concerns I have in the day that we're living is that people don't know Jesus Christ. They know the church and they know the church ways and they know the function of the church and how church ought to be and our opinion of how church ought to be. But we don't know Jesus. We don't know Jesus. We let things hinder us. You know, that shouldn't hinder us. We let things stop us that shouldn't stop us. We let things make us lose our focus that shouldn't. You say, wait a minute now, I'm weak. Well, that's good. I understand. I have no problem understanding that you're weak. Then get in here where we can help you.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why we have Sunday school. You're weak, come to Sunday school. We provide transportation. You don't have no excuse.
Amen.
Come to Bible study. We have transportation. If you're weak, I understand. That happens. But we're making available to you to strengthen you. Come to Sunday school. Come to preaching. You need counseling. Come to Sunday school. Come to preaching on Sunday morning. Preaching on Sunday night. Bible study on Wednesday. We've even got a Bible college that we can enroll you in. And I told you I'd pay for it myself if you can't afford it. And we'll get you all the help you need. Okay? But what you need is Jesus. What you need is Jesus. You need Him. He makes the difference. Huh? I've told you before, back in September of 1987, I started pastoring in August. I started pastoring for July, August. Anyway, I was over at the Veterans Hospital in September of 1987 visiting George O'Dell. He'd had his leg took off, and I was over at the VA hospital in the old ward at the VA hospital in Beckley when they had six in a room, six beds in a room, and they had chopped off George's leg. And I was over there talking to him, and there's another man sitting over there beside by himself. After I talked to George, I got ready to leave, and I said, "Sir," I said, "I'm Preacher Mark, and I just want to talk to you about Jesus. Do you know the Lord?" I don't want to hear none of that. I tried everything. And he went down the line of everything he tried, every religion he tried. I said, "Well, that's wonderful." I said, "Have you ever tried Jesus?" And he said, "No." And he just looked so sad and said, "I never have." I said, "Well, let me tell you about him."
Yeah.
And I told him how wonderful Christ was and all that he'd done. And he sat there and sat up in the bed and the tears run down his face. And he said, "That's who I need."
Yeah.
And he trusted Christ right there in that bed. And he was so happy. He had done everything. See, everything else ain't what he needed. He needed the person, Jesus.
Yeah.
That was on a Monday. I went back on Thursday. And there he sat. I'll never forget, George had went home, and I didn't know he went home. And I went back over to check on George, and I was going to check on, and the man's name was Alden Gay White. That was his name. Alden Gay White. Never forget him. He's sitting there in a straight back chair, almost in the middle of the room with his legs crossed and his arms over him like this, just sitting there. And his shirt front looked like he had poured water on his shirt front. Had a green Dickie work shirt with pajama bottoms. That's what he had on. I'll never forget it. And his whole shirt front was soaking wet. And what it was, he hadn't spilled nothing. He's sitting there and he'd been crying since Monday. And his shirt was soaking wet with tears. And he said, "I ain't never been this happy in my life, preacher man." He said, "This has been good." He said, "All my life I've searched for something." He said, "Now I got Jesus." He said, "I sent my granddaughter for you something. I knew you'd be back." And he sent me a bird feeder. I still got it in my building. It's an old bird feeder, and it's all dilapidated now. It's done about runt. But he said, I make bird feeder, and I want you to have after me. I said, "Man, I don't need that to remember you. I'll remember you the rest of my life." See? And I went back then on Saturday to check on him, and he had done left. And as far as I know, he's in glory. He went to glory because he was dying right then when I seen him. Can I tell you what the difference was? It was Jesus. See, I'm so afraid. Look at me this morning. I'm so afraid you're religious. I'm so afraid that you know the right answers and you know the right buttons to push and you know the right song that's good and you may even know where to say amen and say I agree, but you don't know Jesus because your life is a mess. Your life is a wreck. You don't have nothing. It's empty and hopeless and helpless, but Jesus is who you need this morning. He's who you need. He's who you need this morning. You need Jesus. Can I give you a few things? We okay? Huh? You know, years ago I preached a message just on the word come. And I want to read this again. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Can I tell you, there's 66 books written down here of God's Word, God's Holy Word, that comes straight out of heaven. And He didn't close it up without asking you again to come to Him. To Him. It don't. Now it said, "Be careful that you don't change what He said."
Right.
Make sure you don't change what He said about coming to Him. It's all about Him. Make sure you don't change it. But also He says, "Come, come, come, come. Where? Come to Jesus. You need Jesus." So I've been baptized. You don't know. It ain't been baptism. Hear me. It's Jesus. Did you talk to Him today? He is my best friend. Huh? I get to walk with Him. But He walks with me. He really is. I know Him. Huh? I know Him. You say you've never seen Him. Oh, I've seen Him by the eye of faith. No, I don't know what He looks like, but I've talked to a lot of people on the phone. I don't know what they look like. But I know who I was talking to. Huh? They talk back. We still okay? Think about it. Now let's look at some things. Everybody still with me? See, you say, well, I don't know, preacher. I don't know if I can come to Him or not. Well, let's see what the Bible says. See what the Bible says. How about John chapter 6? Let's see what the Bible says. You say, well, I don't know if I can come to Him or not. Well, John 6, 37 says this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You go ahead and come, He won't throw you out. You're allowed to come. Because the Scripture said in Revelations, can we go back and read the text again? Right, is everybody okay with me this morning? It says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears, can you hear?
Yes.
Talk to me, can you hear?
Yes.
Then you can come.
Yes.
And then it says, and let him that's athirst come.
Yes.
Are you thirsty for something from God? Come on.
Yes.
How about this? And whosoever will, you can't say you can't come. It's for whosoever will. The seed for the children. You can come. We got people downstairs telling them children that they can come to Jesus. I'm up here with the old, with the old. You old people can come to Jesus this morning. Hey, I'm here with the M's, the middle-aged. You can come to Jesus this morning. Hey, I'm here for the E's. That's everybody. The C-O-M-E's, the children, and the old, and the middle-aged. Everybody can come to Jesus this morning. You're allowed. You're allowed to come. And He won't throw you away. You say, I'm dirty and wretched. He'll take you. Oh, I'm filthy. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. He'll take you. I'm a drunkard. I'm a dope head. I'm an adulterer. He'll take you. I'm a gambler. I'm a whatever. He'll take you. If you'll come, He won't cast you away. He'll take you just like you are this morning. Huh? You can't be too lost. He can't find you. You can't be too dirty. He can't clean you. You can't be too far away that He can't reach down and bring you back. You can't be too far gone that He don't offer you hope that's better than anything you can have. You can't go where He can't find you. All He said is you come on. going to come to him this morning. That's what he says. Come on. Come on. Come to him. Well, when should you come? When should you come? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 says, come now. That's why it says, come now. When ought you to come? Everybody can come. When should you come? Come on now. Huh? Come, let us be reasonable about it. That's what it says. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Don't wait. You'll never find in the scripture where it says yesterday was better. It always says now. It don't say yesterday. And it don't say tomorrow. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what another day may bring forth. The Bible says, don't say I will go here and there, because you don't know. So he says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's what the scripture says. Is it simple or not? Come to Jesus. Well, who can come? Oh, everybody can come. When don't you come? Well, come now. Come now. That way you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to make an appointment. Just come on. Come on. Don't have to make no appointment. You don't have to wait till we sing an invitation song. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. Come now. If we had waited for an invitation song, Dave Butler would have never got saved. If Dave Butler hadn't moved when he did on the 20th day of March, 1990, when he hadn't moved right in the middle of the preaching, he'd have never moved that night. The devil would have beat him out of it. But he got up during the preaching and said, well, let's go ahead and come on now. Ain't no need to wait out. Let's go ahead and come on now. Huh? We okay? See, you need to come now. Is everybody still with me? Well, I'm lost, preacher. I'm unsaved. I'm lost. Well, let's see if we can find some help for you. You want to see God? Want to go to God? I like how Philip says it. You ready for God? You ready for God? Huh? John 14 says this. We still okay? John 14 verse 6 says this. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're lost. Well, he's the way. You don't have to be lost no more. He's the truth. You don't have to worry about if it's right. He's the right way. Right? He's the life. You don't have to worry about getting anything else. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And if you come to him, he'll get you to the Father. Amen. You want to get to where God is, that's the man you need. Amen. We okay with that? Said, well, I ain't got no money. Well, let's see what the Bible says. See what the Bible says. How about Isaiah 55? Isaiah 55. Ho! 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 And then the captain on the wagon train hollers, whoa! Ho! Stop! Everybody stop! Get your attention. Be all right with me? Yeah. Everyone that thirsteth, yeah, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, yeah, come ye. You got no money? Yo, come on. Come on. We don't expect you to have any. We don't need you. You're bankrupt anyway. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and price. Oh, just come on. All we want you to do is come. Yes. You come to Jesus. We still okay? Amen. You say, well, what will he do? What will he do if I come? Oh, I'm glad you asked. You see what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also. Wherefore he is able also, listen, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's able to, you come and he'll do the saving. That's what he'll do. Why? Because he be able. Yeah. perfect way. He's going to save you to the uttermost. If you don't want plumb saved, you don't come to Jesus. Because He only saved you plumb through. Huh? I can't make it no... Is that simple? That's as simple as I know. Preacher man, that's as simple as I know to make it. Huh? Just kind. See, I can't do a thing for you. You'll come to Jesus. I can't change you. I can't help you. I can't smack nothing out of you. Huh? I can't beat nothing into you. Huh? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. I'm glad you come to church. We do need church, but that ain't going to help you to get to heaven. You got to have Jesus. It ain't going to get your sins forgiven. You got to have Jesus. So we done looked at all can come now. And if you're lost, you can come on. That's what's going to happen. But see here, there's a catch now. You've got to be willing. You've got to be willing. You've got to want to come. Is that okay? You've got to want to come. See, if you don't want to come, you won't. Yeah. But see, that ain't all now. You are burdened. Anybody here got any burdens? Anybody here got any burdens? Anybody here got any weights? Anybody got anything just heavy on you right now? How come you're handling them? How come you're carrying them? How come you're carrying them? You said you got them. Why? Why you got them? Can you fix them?
No.
Then what are you carrying them for?
You're right.
Amen. I'm talking to you now. You need to pay attention.
You're right.
Can you fix them?
Yes,
how long are you planning on carrying them?
Yeah. That's good, preacher.
We've been trying to teach you. You ain't learned how to handle them.
Right.
You know why? Because I can't teach you how to handle them. Is everybody still okay with me?
Yeah.
We gonna believe it's Bible or not? I mean, do you believe the Bible? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Do you believe it or not?
Yeah.
Do you believe it like it's wrote?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
Let's see what the Bible says. How about Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11. We still okay?
Yep.
Matthew chapter 11. How about we start reading at verse 28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You want to carry him or you want him to carry him? How about you just trade? You want to carry something? Okay. You got to have your nose in it. He'll make a trade with you right here. You say, well, where's that? Well, it says it right here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'm going to give you rest from what you're carrying.
Right, right.
That is what it says?
Yes.
You talk to me. Is that what it means or not?
Yes,
yeah.
And I'll trade you. You take my yoke.
Yep.
You take my yoke because my yoke's easy.
Yeah.
My burden's light. So what it says, yes or no?
Yeah.
Talk to me, is that what it says, yes or no? So you go ahead and carry it if you want to.
Right.
And if you're carrying it, it's because you don't believe He's who He is.
Right.
You believe He can fix everybody's problem but yours. You believe he can carry everybody's burden but yours. Because he needs you to carry your burden because you're so much smarter. I'm glad to meet you. You're smarter than God. Man, I'm glad to meet you. I'm tickled to death to meet you. And then not only are you smarter than God, you're carrying a heavy load, so you're stronger than God. Man, I'm glad to meet you. Was you with him when he made everything?
Yeah.
I think Jerry Rush just prayed that.
Yeah.
Was you with him when he made everything? Are you that old?
No.
Gene ain't even that old. Huh?
No.
Was you with him when he made everything?
No.
Talk to me!
No.
Then what makes you think you can handle it now?
That's right.
That's good, preacher.
See, if you want to carry your load, go ahead and carry it. But when you're carrying it yourself, you don't believe who he is.
That's right.
You're religious.
Yep.
You're right.
Think about it. But you got to be willing.
Right.
You got to be willing to come.
Yep.
We still okay?
Yep.
Huh? How many really want to get all God's got? Anybody?
Yes.
Don't put it on the board because they got to be willing to answer. Every believer in here should have hollered and screamed yes.
Yes.
But you don't because you tell the truth. And I'm so glad. Because some of you don't want more God. Because to get more God, you got to get more. He's got to get more you. So you got enough to do you. Years ago, everybody says I had a boring life. I had that most exciting life. I used to stand, my papa would go shower, and I'd stand and I'd watch him shave. And I'd go in the bathroom, he'd open the bathroom door, and I'd stand there beside the lavatory, and he had that little brush and that little cup, and he put that in there, and I thought that was amazing. Someday, I'll get to do that. And I watched my pawpaw was shaving, and I did. And he had that razor, she unscrewed the top, and the top opened up, and put them razor blades down, and unscrewed it back up. He shaved. Then he wiped his face off with a hot towel. And he always combed his hair straight back. And he had a little tube, and it had Brill Cream. And what he put a little bit of that, and he rubbed his hair back in, and he combed his hair back, you know. Now, some of you already know where I'm going with that. But that's what older people done, is how they comb hair. Now, when I got older, they didn't have Brill Cream, they had Wild Root Cream oil. And I didn't have a flat top right then, and I'd use Wild Root Cream oil. And it was about the same principle, because I parted my hair and combed it back. And then they quit making Wild Root Cream oil, and I had to use Vitalis. And I used Vitalis. Anybody here remember Vitalis?
Yeah.
All right. Now, some of you young ones, y'all don't have a clue what I'm talking about. That's all right. But anyway, Mickey Mantle, the baseball player for the Yankees, you know, he done the advertisement for Brill Cream. And we know the saying, don't we? Brill Cream, a little dab will do you for men who care a lot about their hair. Y'all remember that? Huh? How many remembers that? Huh? Well, we're a whole bunch, ain't we? Brill Cream, a little dab will do you for men who care a lot about their hair. Now, the reason I'm saying this, that's Jesus is in your tube. And you just squirt a little bit out when you need a little bit. It don't take much to do most people. But see, I'm afraid we're not very thirsty for him. See, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, everybody still with me? I'm trying to be simple. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's what the Bible says. That's a promise, ain't it? Huh? Is that a promise? Let's turn back to the Gospel of John chapter 7. See what the Bible says. See what the Bible says this morning in John chapter 7. Verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You thirsty? You thirsty? I'm asking y'all, look at me. I'm asking y'all. Are y'all thirsty? Then come to Jesus. But you got to be willing. You got to be willing. I wonder, do you really want him? Do you really want him? No, you got to be careful. You got to be careful how you answer. Do you really want him? Or you just want what he gives you? Do you really want him, or you just want the benefits? See, a lot of times we want church because we get stuff. A lot of times we want religion because there's benefits that come with it. And then a lot of times we'll even say, yeah, I'll take Jesus, but I, for what he can give me. And you say, well, people don't do that. Well, did Jesus not tell them in John chapter 6, you come and you eat the bread and the fishes, and now you follow me because of the bread and the fishes.
Right.
That's why you get, because you think I'm going to give you something else. Is that not what he said? But Mark chapter 8, verse 34, says this. And when he had called the people unto him, this is Jesus. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. What he's saying there is, you really want me? You really want me? Then deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. But see, all of these things, you've got to be willing. See, I'm afraid we're in the last inning, and there's two out, and we're the last at bat, and the game's about over, and we're hypocrites. And we got one more swing at it. And the game's going to be over. This modern day religion done wore us out.
That's right, sir.
Me and Cheryl, was this morning, I think it was this morning, we was coming to church, or morning last, maybe I dreamed it, I don't know. But we was talking, how many would love, I'm going to make everybody mad, I'll go ahead and tell you. How many would love homes to be like they used to be 50 years ago? Anybody? Okay, you know what you're going to have to do then? All you women's going to have to get off your britches and put your dress on. Blow your knees. Have supper ready when your husband comes home. Raise your kids. You still all right? Husbands, you're going to have to come home and clean up when you get home. Put on a suit. Sit down at your supper table in suit and tie, and your wife dressed up. And then when y'all go to the food line and Piggly Wiggly, you dress up and go as a family. That's what they used to do 50 years ago. Now how much of 50 years ago you want? You don't want much, because you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that.
Right.
Am I right or wrong?
Right.
How many want church like it used to be 50 years ago? How many want the shouting time, people coming to Christ and just shouting time and just church all over? How many would like that? Anybody like to have that?
Amen.
You know what you're going to have to do?
Yeah.
Oh, You're going to have to spend some time with God. You're going to have to shut the ball fields down on Wednesday and Sunday. Well, you're not going to do that. You're not going to spend, because there's too much. You're going to have to quit hunting on Sunday. You're going to have to quit fishing on Sunday. You're going to have to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. You're going to have to read your Bible and pray. But you ain't going to do that. And you're not going to have church like you used to. See, the problem is we won't come. It ain't that we can't come. See, John chapter 5. See what the Bible says. John chapter 5. We okay? How many did I lose? How many of you did I lose? John chapter 5 verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. And you will not come to me. See, he ain't going to be first place in your life until you get rid of everything it is. You're not going to walk with God until you quit walking with everybody else.
Amen. Amen. That is right. Amen. You're right.
Years ago, they said, the fella had hogs. Had a whole bunch of hogs. And he had so many hogs, he had trouble getting them fed. So what he just trained them to do when he get them little piglets, he'd go out there and he'd beat on the fence post with a stick when it was feeding time. And he trained them hogs. It didn't matter where they was on that farm. When he beat on that post with the stick, all them hogs come to the trough. And he said, man, this is the best thing in the world. They figured out, I mean, here they'd all come. And it made everything so easy. But after a couple of years, a flock of peckerwards come in. And they some old dead trees there behind the barn. And then Peckerwood started pecking on that post. And them hogs run themselves to death. Because every time I'd hear that Peckerwood take off, they'd go over there. And there wasn't no food. And they'd go over there and there weren't no food. And they'd go over there and there weren't no food. And all that old farmer had worked for was just throw away. And the ones that suffered was the hogs. Yep.
That's right.
That's where we're at.
Amen.
See, there's only one way, and that's Jesus.
Right.
But I'm afraid these bunch of peckerwoods moved in. And everybody's running everywhere because of the noise.
Amen. Hello.
And there's nothing to eat. What you need, Jesus. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God. What? Okay. What are you going to do? Are you lost? Won't you come to Jesus? If you're lost this morning, you look at me. If you're truly lost, you are going to go to hell unless you come to Jesus. There's nothing else you can do. You're going to go to hell. That's where it's going to be. Now, I can't tell you whether you're saved or not. The disciples asked Jesus, what do we do with the tares and the wheat? He said, leave it. It'll show itself in judgment. But a tare will never be wheat. And a wheat will never be a tare. They may look the same. They may smell the same. They may grow up in the same place. But they're never the same. Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, you need Jesus. And if you're burdened this morning, you got a heavy burden, and you're trying to carry it, won't you find Jesus up here? When to do it now, right now. Don't wait no more. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now and get saved. Come on now. Are you wandering away from God? Have you took the wrong exit? You need to turn around. Notice back up the exit ramp and come on. Come to Jesus now. See, you need Him now. You need Him now. See, we got lost people. We're wanting to get saved, but we won't pray for them until they're on their deathbed. We're foolish. Need things now. You're lost today. Don't wait till tomorrow. You're lost today. You need Jesus today. Your family needs Jesus. They come. Come. That's what it says. Come. Come. We've come now. Come if you're burdened. Are you thirsty? Do you want to drink from God? Come now. Are you wanting all of God? He said, come. Come now. You're going to have to get rid of self. Self's in the way. Huh? Or do you hear the knocking everywhere? Just run yourself to death. Try to find something. Ain't going to happen. You're going to have to come to Christ. Won't you come this morning? Father, speak in our heart, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing. You come.